Amen.
Thank God.
Amen.
Christian.
Amen.
Amen, Brother Eli. Thank you, brother.
And the whole world's against me, and everything's wrong. All I need for courage is to whisper, thank God.
Amen. Listen up.
Yeah.
Taking with me no silver or gold. But I'm glad that death has no power.
Amen. Yeah, glory to God.
Against the circle of my Christian home.
That's right.
When I'm tired and discouraged.
Bless him, Lord.
Yeah.
All I need for courage is to whisper,
yeah,
thank God for my Christian home.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for my Christian home.
Amen. Good job, everybody. Amen.
Good. Brother Eli.
Amen.
He comes from a long line of singers.
Yeah.
And he had a grandma that done a lot of gospel singing. Of course, his daddy sings. Brother Nathan, what about you and Leah coming during one tonight? Can you do that?
Sure.
While they're coming tonight, somebody may have a testimony for the Lord tonight. You want to have a testimony tonight while they're coming to get ready?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Diane.
Yes,
Amen.
I just want to thank the Lord for saving me. And he's talking about my birthday there. And last night when I walked in,
bless her,
and then all those faces standing there looking at me,
bless
and
her.
I thought, I've lost many loved ones. That's what heaven's going to be
that's
like.
Right.
Yeah.
I walked
Amen.
In,
yeah, man.
They're going to be standing there looking at me. And it was such a blessing. Just bless last her. Night I couldn't even sleep. I just laid there and I thought, man,
bless
that's
her.
What it's going to be.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That is right. Amen. Hey. All right, anybody else tonight? Testimony. I told her I was shocked last night. I thought she's 40.
Amen. Bless them, Lord.
Grace showed grace and mercy to me, and I'm glad He included me in the in His plan.
Amen, brother.
I'm glad He didn't leave me out. I'm glad that I've been included.
Amen.
We'll celebrate on that. home, that'd be a happy day.
Think about it.
We all get home.
Right,
we just can't wait to celebrate. All around us,
yeah,
we call the Son and Holy Ghost. Bid us welcome in. We're brothers, sisters in the Lord.
Yeah,
so that makes us kin.
Yeah.
He included me, yes, He included me. When we hung between earth and sky, He included
me.
That you need to read John 17.
That's right.
Yeah. The Bible says in that chapter there, he said, I don't only pray for these, but for those that will believe.
Amen.
So he included you in that prayer. Pray for
right.
Brother Nathan will be doing all the preaching next Sunday, so pray for him this week.
And
Brother Scott will be doing the teaching on Wednesday night. And remember, us will be over in the Ridgeway, Virginia, over there this coming week in a meeting. The latter part of the week, so we pray about all these things.
Yeah.
All right, we're glad to have Brother Chris with us tonight, and we'll be looking forward to him coming and preaching for us tonight. He's got his family with him, some friends, and we're glad they're with us tonight. We've been praying for ever since we asked him to come. We've been praying for him, praying the Lord give him liberty, and he'd enjoy his preaching. And no better blessing for a preacher than just to be able to enjoy his preaching.
Yeah.
So you pray for him tonight, all right?
Bless
you,
Lord.
Amen. You can go ahead and be turning your Bibles to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. I've only got 17 points to cover, so it shouldn't take long.
Amen, brother. Amen.
Praise to
I don't know what you're expecting. Don't know what Brother Ricky told you, but I stink as a preacher. I've been doing this for 17 years. I still ain't figured out how to do it. And you say, "What do you say that for, Brother Chris?" Because I can go nowhere but up after that. Amen. All right, y'all need to smile. Amen. Genesis chapter 12. Look with me in verse 2. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. Excuse me. The Bible says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." With the Lord's help, I'd like to preach a message entitled, "The ABCs to Having a Great Name." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this evening. We thank you. We appreciate you, Lord God. There's none other to come to in these times. No other name to call on, no other spirit to trust in, and no other Savior to believe in. I ask you now, Father, for your anointing, Lord, for I acknowledge before you and these witnesses, there is nothing within me, Lord, that is of any good except it be of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Bless you, Lord.
If you don't do anything, nothing will happen. And so I thank you tonight, Lord God, that you've assured me that you're in the presence of two or three, and Lord God, that you'll walk in the midst of them. And I pray tonight, Lord God, help me, I pray, to do what you've called me to do. Set a watch over my lips, a guard over my mouth, that I say nothing to hinder, but Lord, help us to be a help. Lord, regardless if we get one amen or a shout or anyone comes to the altar, let us know that we've been in the presence of a thrice holy God. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. We appreciate you standing for the reading of the Word of God. Genesis chapter 12. In verse 2 there, we see this is where God is calling Abraham out from among his kindred, and he's going to use him, and he's going to do something in him and through him and by him.
Amen.
Many strive. I look out across the room tonight, and I would say that some of you, if not most of you, maybe all of you, at some time or another have striven or strove to make a great name. Make a name that people would respect. Can I say amen to that?
Yep.
You know, when people mention your name, I would think that you would want people to think good things, that they would think good things about you and regarding your life, regarding some deeds, regarding some actions. And so a great name is not a bad thing to have.
Amen.
Many strive to have make a name for themselves in this world. And if you could have any name, I would hope it would be Christian.
Amen.
Amen. I could really care less if you call me Chris or call me Brother Bly or anything like that, or even preacher. But if I could leave your presence tonight and somewhere in your life you could say that was a Christian man, then something's happened. Amen. And it's been beyond who I am. Having a great name, as we said, is not a bad thing. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches.
Amen.
In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, the Bible says a good name is better than precious ointment. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, regarding the bishop, regarding the pastor, it says, moreover, he must have a good report. A good report is a good reputation. Now, I do want to say right there, sometimes and a lot of times, it really doesn't matter what you do. There's always going to be somebody to try to mar your name, try to make you look bad, no matter how good you do.
Amen.
I found this one time. A.W. Tozer says this: we may be known by the following: what we want most, what we think about most, how we use our money, what we do with our leisure time, who and what we admire, and what we laugh at. There's a poem that goes like this. It's entitled Little by Little. Little by little all things grow, planting trees from the seed we sow. The beginning of life is under the ground, in darkness and silence all profound. Then a tiny shoot comes up to the light, and the plant increases in beauty and sight. Little by little bad habits grow. How they begin we scarcely know. A little wrong act, a false little word, once pleasant drink in the poison cup stirred, repeated once and again and a while again, and soon we are caught in a cruel chain. Little by little, good principles grow, steady and sure, and though sometimes slow. A little act done because it is right soon becomes to be choice, a real delight, until second nature it becomes to be, and we walk in its light and liberty. Amen?
Amen.
Little by little, you'll get a great name. Little by little, you could get a horrible name.
Right.
But it'll be little by little. I know no one that has gotten a great name overnight.
Amen.
I know no one that got saved and the next day everybody in the country knew him.
Right.
Amen. It takes some work. It takes some effort. And we find here in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 2 that God tells Abraham, he says, I'm going to make thy name great.
Yeah.
Now what arrested my attention after this, folks, is in verse 2 where he says, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. And I like the way God works. Let me say this. He don't make just things good. He don't just make things okay. He makes them great, brother.
Amen. Amen.
I mean, if you're going to have a great God, he's going to make great things. Amen.
Right.
And he says to Abraham, he said, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And here's what God showed me. This is why I'm going to do this. Look in verse 3, verse 2, he says, and thou shalt be a blessing.
Right.
I wonder if there's anybody here tonight. You've prayed, you've asked God, you've cried out to God. God, help me be a blessing to someone. Help me to be a help to someone. Folks, I want to remind you, unless you have a great name, it's going to be hard to do that.
Right.
If you have an okay name or a so-so name, somebody's going to find something wrong with you.
Right.
And you're going to struggle through life to be a blessing.
Right.
I want to say that there are six things, if I can, and I'll try to brush through them as quickly as I can. Six things in having a great name from Abraham's life. The first thing, if you take notes, I sure hope somebody's going to write this down. If you take notes, look with me in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. The Bible says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and unto a land that I will shew thee. Drop down with me to verse 4. The Bible says, so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. The first thing I want to say tonight is if you're going to have a great name, you better learn how to adhere to the command of God.
Right.
I mean, listen to the command of God. I mean, do the command of God. We find, I know as preachers and teachers sometimes, we try to fit ourselves in there and we try to make Abraham as though he struggled and it was a hard thing to do. But when I read my Bible, I don't find any of that struggle there. When I read my Bible, I read in verse 1 where he says go, and I read in verse 4 where the Bible says Abraham went. Right. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm not saying he's sinless. But if we're going to have a great name in 2015, or even a great church, or a great family, yeah, or a great home, folks, we're going to have to learn, and we're going to have to get to a place when God says it, we just do it.
Yeah.
Amen. And he's like, well, I do that, Brother Chris. Do you do it all the time?
Right.
Well, not all the time. Then we have room to grow, then, don't we? Amen?
Yeah,
and so what I'm saying tonight in adherence, we need to simply obey God.
Right.
We need to have a willingness to obey. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, we know the story there with King Saul. And God has told Samuel to tell Saul what he must do. And what he must do is to wipe out all the Amalekites,
right,
from the king down to the suckling, and wipe out all the beasts, wipe out everything, so that there is no reminder of the Amalekites in the land.
Yep. Right.
And we know the story, how it goes, and Saul didn't do that, but he said he did. And Samuel, as he's talking to Saul, he says, listen, it's better to obey than it is to sacrifice.
Right. Yep.
The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 22, and yep, we flip over there in verse 10 through 12, Abraham has been commanded by God to take Isaac, that promised son, up on the Mount Moriah there and sacrifice him. And in verse 10, the Bible says, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called out unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Here's what I learned from this, brothers and sisters. God did not want Isaac in the first place. He wanted Abraham.
Right.
He wanted the obedience of Abraham.
Yeah.
He wanted the heart of Abraham.
Yeah.
He wanted the most important thing to Abraham.
Yeah.
And so we see there that God didn't want him on Isaac. He wanted Abraham.
Yeah.
But in this obedience of Abraham to God, we see the love Abraham has for God.
Yeah.
Because he put God before Isaac.
Right.
He put God before that promised son. The Bible tells me in John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Amen.
In John 13, verse 34, Jesus is talking to the disciples. And he says, a new commandment I give unto thee, that you love one another. And then in 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, the Bible tells us that we ought to love our brother. And if we don't love our brother, then we don't love God. If we love God, we'll love our brother.
Right.
They go hand in hand. Amen.
Yeah.
And so love breeds obedience. And obedience is a mark of love.
Amen.
In Matthew 22, verse 36 through 40, we find those Pharisees, those self-righteous Pharisees, asking Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, love thou the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength.
Right.
They didn't ask about the second one. He said, the second one is likened unto it, that you love thy neighbor as thyself.
Yeah.
And what I like is the next statement Jesus says. He says, all the law and the prophets hang on these two things.
That's right.
There was no 10 there. There was no 600 there. There were two commandments. Those two commandments are based upon love and obedience.
Amen.
And so tonight, if we're going to have a great name, folks, we need to have ear to the commandment of God.
Amen.
The second step, if you want to write them down in steps, the second step to having a great name is, ironically, having a Bethel. Amen.
Right.
When Brother Ricky asked me to preach, and I studied and asked God what to preach, and he set up my heart on this message, I said, well, that'll go right in hand. If they don't like anything, they'll like that second point.
That's the Lord.
Have a Bethel. Look with me in Genesis chapter 12, in verse 7 and 8. Genesis chapter 12, verse 7 and 8. Notice what it says about Abraham. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there buildeth he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. So if we're going to have a great name, we need to find a place of prayer.
Yeah.
And for Abraham, it was found at Bethel. And I don't know if that's pronounced Bethel or Bethel, however you want to say it. We'll just call it Bethel so it fits here tonight. Amen. And so we need to have a willingness to find a place of prayer and a willingness to obey. Abraham, I noticed there what struck out to me, Brother Ricky, is there it says, and the Lord appeared unto him, and he's going to give it the land, he's going to build the altar. And in verse 8, he removed fence and on the mountain, on the east and on the west. And the Bible says he pitched his tent.
Yeah.
Right. You know what that tells me, Brother Nathan? Abraham was planning to stay a while.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
He's planning to stay a while. You know what really, really bugs me sometimes is even in my own prayer life, when we pray a little pitiful prayer for about 30 seconds and we really think we got in touch with God.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. I think sometimes we need to just pitch our tent around the altar of God until God tells us to get up. We just keep talking, and when we get tired of talking, we just start listening. And then when God speaks to us and we speak, you see, prayers are conversation.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I tell them at Fairview, one thing I hate is somebody that monopolizes the conversation.
Yeah.
And that's me a lot of time at my house. My family back on the back pew can tell you that. I monopolize. But I'll tell you what, sometimes it's hard to listen. It's hard to listen. But we see Abraham planned to stay a while. But we notice that he built an altar there in verse 8. And when I looked at three things about building an altar, I'm not talking about a physical altar, but if you wanted to, you could. But three things I believe needed in building an altar that I believe Abraham met here is, number one, it needs to be and resemble a place of sacrifice.
Amen.
A place where we lay things down. A place where we crucify some things.
Right.
But secondly, it needs to be a place of supplication. A place, once again, that we find and meet God and talk with Him and hear from Him. But also, finally, I believe this is probably one of the worst ones that we, as Christians in 2014, are lacking. It needs to be a place of seriousness.
Amen.
It needs to be a place of seriousness. I'm not saying I've never seen it here that I can remember, but I've been in some churches where kids are up here running around the altar. They're jumping on the altar. They're laying on the altar. Hey, we need to teach our young folk that this is a place of seriousness. It's a place of sacrifice. I don't believe when Abraham took Isaac up there, Isaac was playing around. I believe it was serious business because I believe Daddy taught son, this is serious stuff we're dealing with. Now there's three things that God gave me about building an altar. Three things that I believe we need. Every one of us need to build an altar.
We do.
Right.
Number one is a hammer.
Yeah.
When I look at this altar, there's some wood there. Somebody had to have something to put that thing together.
Right.
I know in this day and age you have nail guns and everything, but just work with me for the illustration, amen? We need a hammer, but also we need something to put something together with, so we probably need some nails.
Amen.
But we need some material.
Yeah.
Need something to put together. And you say, why do you say that for? Because sometimes with a hammer, an altar represents a pounding. I don't know about you, but on September 19th, 1988, I knelt in an altar in an old Baptist church, and the Holy Spirit was pounding upon my heart, pounding upon my heart to get saved. And then I got away from God in July of 1997. I came back to Gethsemane Baptist Church, sitting back there almost on the back pew, and God started pounding on my heart once again and got me on that altar. And I recommitted my life to the Lord and haven't looked back since, except for a few times where I get weak. But thank God there's a hammer. God gives us a hammer. In John 14, verse 26, I think sometimes us preachers and teachers, we use that. You know, we're hammering the thought in and we're going to seek that thought. Hey, John 14, verse 26, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit of God being the comforter. You know what Jesus says? One of His jobs is to bring unto your remembrance whatsoever things I have told you. Sometimes God will hammer. Tonight you may have heard what I'm preaching to you already. Hey, maybe God's trying to hammer something home with you and seat it in your soul.
Amen.
Those nails, I got to thinking about those nails too, Brother Keith. You know, sometimes God wants to bring us to an altar to pierce us.
Yes, sir.
I learned in the preacher fellowship last month that the Latin meaning for the word sermon is to pierce, to stab. And so I hope tonight, somewhere or another, you feel pierced. As quiet as it is, somebody already probably feels that way, amen? And feel pierced. But also, then we have the material, the wood. I don't know about you, Brother Jack, but I've learned some things that God will use at an altar. When He brings you down here, He'll break you down, He'll hammer you, He'll pierce you, all the while meaning to put your life together and to build it for His glory and so that you can serve Him in the truth of His Son. But we need an adherence. We need a Bethel. But we also need a confession. A place of confession in Genesis 13.
Right.
If you will, just flip over there with me. Genesis 13. Begin read with me in verse 1, if you will. Excuse me. Verse 1. The Bible says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now, I've got to give you some history. Maybe you don't know it. Some of you do. Most of you probably do. In Genesis chapter 12, there after he left him, He went down there to Egypt because there was a famine in the land. And Abraham was afraid that Pharaoh was going to like his wife and take her from him. So he, I don't know how he came up with this, but he told a half-truth.
Yeah.
I want you to know that Sarah was the daughter of Abraham's father, but not his mother. That made Sarah his half-sister. So when he told Pharaoh, she's my sister, he didn't altogether lie. Boy, ain't that what we do a lot of times. If we can find just a shred of truth in it, we'll convince ourselves we're not lying. And so he told a half-truth, and so to spare himself, and so on and so forth. And I say all that to say something like, to get you back up to here. And at the end of verse chapter 12, we find Pharaoh kicking them out and getting rid of them. Boy, I want to say this. It is a sad place we get when the world has to tell us that we're in sin. Yes. It's a bad place to get when the world has to point out that we've done wrong. Yeah. When we're supposed to be walking with God. Right. And so there's a place of confession. But in verse chapter 13, we find out in Genesis chapter 12, in verse 7 and 8, he built an altar over in Bethel. That's where he prayed and sought God. When he messed up and made some mistakes, guess where he went back to? Right. He went back to Bethel there in Genesis 13, verse 1 through 4. It says there, notice in verse 30, that on his journey went from the south, and he said that the place his tent had been at the beginning. Yeah. And then in verse 4 it says, under the place of the altar which had been made there at the first. Folks, when we mess up and we make mistakes, we sin, whatever you want to call it, come short of the glory of God. Yeah. We need to go back to where God told us from the beginning.
That's right.
And so Genesis 12, we see he lied. And then Genesis 13, he makes a repentance. He makes a repentant act. He confesses. Right. Acts chapter 26, verse 20 tells us to have works, meet for repentance. Mm-hmm. You know, making repentance is not just saying, I'm sorry.
Right.
You know how many people I've met over the years, I'm sorry, so now you've got to forgive me. You're a Christian, you have to forgive me. Ain't that just strange how that happens?
Yeah.
But the Bible tells me and you to have meet works. Meet. That word meet means suitable for repentance.
Amen.
We ought to work diligently at making things right. James chapter 5, I believe, says to confess your faults to one another. Amen.
Amen.
And so 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8 and 10 talks about a godly repentance and a worldly repentance, or a sorrow that leads to repentance. One leads to death, one leads to life.
Right.
Abraham's step of repentance. We see where his tent had been at the beginning, the place of the altar he made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. You notice that we don't find in chapter 12 at the end where Pharaoh commanded him to get away. He doesn't stop right there and pray.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I believe there's a place of repentance.
Yes, sir.
Not just anywhere. Just like I believe there's a place of salvation. You don't get saved where you want to, when you want to, or how you want to. Jesus said, no man come to me except my Father draw him.
Right.
And he said, no man come to the Father except he come through me. And so what I learned tonight, not only is a place of salvation, there's a place of repentance.
Amen.
I wonder, again, I wonder if God, if Abraham practiced James 5:16. I wonder if he practiced Matthew 5:23 and 24, where when you remember a fault, here's what I believe where we fail at, folks, and I'm talking about myself too, and don't get too quiet on me. Hey, when we remember a fault in prayer and God says, hey, you need to go make that right, we ought to rise right there, go back to adhering the command of God, and go back and make it right. Amen?
Right.
But in Matthew chapter 18 also, if a brother trespasses against you, he may not even know it. It's your job to make it known. You know that?
Amen. Right.
So we see that there's an adherence. We know that there's a Bethel, or a place of prayer, and then there's a confession. But also, I believe the fourth step in having a great name is having a great disposition. Look with me in Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. I'm drinking more water than I normally do. I get really nervous when I preach somewhere else. Genesis chapter 14. Look with me in verse 14. The Bible says, and when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan, and he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. If we're going to have a great name, folks, we're going to have an adherence to the commands of God.
Right.
If we're going to have a great name, we're going to have a Bethel, a place of prayer. If we're going to have a great name, we're going to have a place of confession when we realize we've done wrong. But if we're going to have a great name, we need to have a disposition to demonstrate compassion.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm talking about real compassion. I'm not just talking about sympathy. I'm not just talking about feeling sorry or showing pity. I'm talking about compassion. I want you to notice what Abraham did. Lot is taken captive by, I think, these four kings of five. I think is what it, how it words it. He's taken captive by a group of kings along with some others. Now, what I want you to notice, you know, Abraham gave Lot a choice. He said, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. Well, young Lot, being, I guess, arrogant, he looked around and he said, hey, I like that land down there. It seems to be flowing with milk and honey in his eyeballs, and it's green and lustrous. I want to go down there. And so Abraham took the other side. And so with all this, and Lot makes the wrong decision. We know that. We have the end of the story. We know what happens. But before we get there, what I want you to notice is he gets taken captive. And somehow somebody gets word back to Abraham. Abraham finds out about this. And what I want you to know that does not happen. Abraham does not seek to understand Lot.
Man.
Let me see if I can expand that for you. How many of you have said this when somebody messes up? I just can't understand how they do that.
Amen.
I just can't understand why they've done that.
Right.
I just can't understand their mentality. Why in the world did they go off and do that?
Right.
You see, Abraham did not struggle to understand Lot.
Right.
But also Abraham did not try to reason with Lot.
Right.
How many of us, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, he said, come now, let us reason together.
Amen.
You know, it's good when God reasons with people.
Yeah.
It's good when people will listen to the reason of God. But so many times, you have well-meaning, good-intending people trying to reason other people, and you don't even have the power to do it.
Right.
Hey, I cannot convince you of anything tonight. Here's what God's been teaching me as a preacher. Just throw the message out there like a quarterback throws a football, and it's out of your hands. It's up to them what they do with it.
Right.
You know how hard it is to do that, Brother Eddie? I mean, because you see people, hey, thank God for tonight, I don't know half of you. But as a pastor, you know some things going on in people's lives. And I was listening to Brother Ron Ralph this morning on the way back home from work. He said, God sometimes will show me a congregation when I get up to preach. He said, sometimes God will show me a family when I get up to preach. And sometimes He'll show me an individual when I get up to preach. And so I've never looked at it that way, but it really helped me. When I look out at you, I just see Bethel Baptist Church. I don't know what's going on in any of your lives. And so that's pretty easy for me to preach, Brother Jack. And so here tonight, we see a disposition, and Abraham has a disposition to show compassion to Lot. He does not seek to understand, does not seek to reason, and he does not seek to convince Lot. Here's what Abraham sought to do. And I have proof of Scripture. Abraham sought to restore that which had fallen.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
It had not been written yet because the Apostle Paul had not been born yet.
Right.
But it was in the mind of God in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3.
Yeah.
He said, brethren, if any man, any of you be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness.
Yeah.
That's what Abraham sought to do. And he sought to restore Lot. He went down there with 318 souls. You know what I also learned about this, Brother Keith? Is he took somebody with him.
Yes.
He didn't go by himself.
Right.
Oh, how many times have we seen people off in a fault, off down there in Sodom, off over there in Moab? We sit over here, can't understand why they're doing what they're doing. We can't reason with them. We can't convince them. But we fail to ever go get them.
Right.
We fail to get other people, I mean real people, on fire from God to go out and win the battle. People say, well, they're getting what they deserve. They shouldn't have been down there in the first place. Well, I know that.
Right.
You know that. But boy, I don't know about you, but I've loved Galatians 6:1 all my Christian life. You know why? Because that word overtaken means surprised.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I want to ask you, when's the last time you fell in a fault and you knew it was coming and you did it anyway? Mm-hmm. Right. A lot of times, I mean, if we're good Christian people, we're not looking to trip.
Right.
Right.
We're not looking to fall off the edge.
Right.
Well, something just happens in our mentality and we make some bad decisions. And we look to the left, we look to the right just like Lot, and we reason. Hey, that looks like it'd be better for me. I'll go there.
Yeah.
And all the while, it's the worst thing you can do.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I play pool. Is that a sin?
Yeah.
It is?
Amen.
I'll go to confession here in a minute. We got a pool table at the fire department. We got this young guy that just started and every time we play, we just kind of pass the time after we're done through the day working, because you know firemen, they work really hard, amen?
Yeah.
And so after the end of the day, we're working, we get back there playing in the pool while the cook's cooking, and he'll have a ball right there on the edge of the pocket. And I'll see him every time he runs around there to get that shape on that ball. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. He said, what? I said, don't take the easy shot every time. Look, that's a given shot. You got to be blind not to hit that shot. What you want to do is look at the whole table, and maybe you can try a little bit harder shot, get that ball in. It might give you shape on another. Then you can always come back and get this one. Say, boy, I wish Lot would have picked up on that.
Right.
The easy shot is not always the best one.
Right. True.
And that's what Lot took. He took the easy shot, and we know where it landed him. But thank God for Abraham. God was making a great name in Abraham, and he knew Abraham's heart, and he knew when Lot got down there that Abraham would go get him. He would take somebody with him.
Amen.
But you know what I noticed these people didn't do, and we'll go on? Those 318 souls, we have no idea who they are, do we? But I'll tell you what we do know about them. You won't find in your Bible. Brother David Epps preached a message one time in Luke chapter 15 on the prodigal son. Yeah. He said, let me tell you what's not there.
Yeah.
He talked about a mother. Wasn't there. And he preached like that. So I will tell you what we don't see here in these 318 people. We don't see them condemning Lot.
Right.
Hey, folks, I believe at this point Lot has realized he's messed up.
Right.
He didn't need 318 people to come back to back. Boy, you messed up. Boy, you numbskull. Boy, you just made a big, bad decision there. He already knew he made a mistake.
Right. Right.
They didn't condemn him, but also they didn't gossip.
Right. Amen.
They didn't gossip. You know what they wanted to do? They wanted to rescue him. They wanted to restore him.
Amen.
But you know what? It always starts with the leader.
Right.
It always starts with the leader. And Abraham was that leader. The fifth thing, hey, we need to have an adherence to commands. We need to have a Bethel to pray and get back to. We need to have a place of confession. We need to have a disposition about us willing to demonstrate compassion. But folks, we need to have some ethics about us.
Yeah.
That's a $40 word right there, I guess. Ethics. Look at me in Genesis chapter 14 again, verse 21. The Bible says, and the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord,
amen,
to the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth. Let me stop right there. Anybody ever said, I swear I'll never do it again? We lift up our hand, don't we? Where do you think that stuff comes from?
Yeah. Amen.
Hey, the possessor of heaven and earth, and that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich, save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me, Aner and Eshel and Mamre, let them take their portion. Here's what I want you to know about ethics. We need to have a willingness to display integrity.
Amen.
Folks, if you're going to have a great name, you've got to have some integrity.
Amen.
We've got to have some character.
Amen.
We've got to have this if we're going to... You notice Abraham, he was offered some things. Notice what he says in verse 21. He said, give me the persons and take the goods thyself. He was wanting to will and deal. He was wanting to trade. And Abram said, I will not touch anything.
Amen.
Except what the men have already eaten.
Right.
I'm not gonna make a decision. You see, in this day and age, folks, many times we will allow to be compromised because we think it's going to get us further along.
Right.
Yeah.
Folks, we cannot make a great name. Hey, I can't even make a good name.
Right.
I tell them church all the time around home. We used to have some people, when I first came there to pastor, I had some people come up to me one time. I preached Romans chapter 3, verse 10. There is none good, there is none doeth good, no, not one. There's none righteous. And I preached that, and I had somebody walk out the door and say, you know, I believe everybody has some inherent good in them. And I knew by preaching that, they said that, they wouldn't listen to nothing I was preaching.
Yeah, man.
You know what I tell them at home? We say a lot of times, you tell me, you don't have to tell me, I know probably most of you do this. We mess up, what do we tell? Hey, I'll do better next time. You know what I tell them at home, Brother Eddie? You can't do better, you can't even do good. I'll give my best. How can you give your best? The Bible tells me I can't even give no good. Hey, there's nothing good within us, save it be Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
Paul said it best, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live the life I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of Him.
Amen.
My faith ain't even good enough.
Right.
I like the way Paul said that. He said, I live by the faith of the Son of God.
That's right.
How many of you would have the faith to walk up Golgotha's hill and be crucified willingly?
Right.
Abraham held, here's two things I want to give you if you're taking notes. Abraham held himself accountable to God and God alone.
Man.
Hey, guess what, folks? You know, I'm a pastor now, and I ain't been doing nothing nearly as long as Brother Rick does, and I'm humbled right here just preaching in front of him. But here's what I learned right here. I don't have to worry about holding myself accountable to the man of God if I hold myself accountable to God.
Right.
Hey, if I'm me, me and God's right, me and the man of God's going to be right. But hey, if I'm right with God, the man of God wants to go this way, I won't buck against him. I'll just go that way because I'm right with God.
Amen.
Back when I sit on a pew, preacher or not, here's my hierarchy. Can I tell you my hierarchy? Let me say this like Paul said. I speak not just by commandment, but by permission. You give me permission?
Yeah.
All right. Pastor did. I don't do
that.
Here's my hierarchy. God, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, Paul Davidson.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, you're lifting. No, I'm not lifting him up on no higher than he is. I'm putting him exactly where God put him.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, do you understand that Moses, the Bible says that God hearkened unto Moses?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Sure. Yes, yeah.
Moses had a great name.
Yeah. Right.
And so when I look at this tonight, I'm not putting men up on no pedestal where God has not already put them. But what I'm saying tonight, if we're going to have a great name, we've got to have some integrity. We've got to hold ourselves accountable to God.
Yes.
Let me tell you this, men will be okay with a few slips and trips.
Yeah.
I heard a pastor, a great man of God that I respect, he said one time, you know us pastors, we'll even enable people sometimes. Somebody will come in and say, well, I'm sorry, I missed church this morning. You know what we say sometimes? Oh, that's okay.
Right.
When really it's not.
Right.
I mean, unless they're sick or had to work or something, but you know, we find out later on they wanted to watch a ball game or something.
Right.
Oh, that's okay. We're trying to be gracious, trying to be nice, but actually, if we're not careful, we begin to enable people. So what I learned is sometimes men are okay with a few slips and trips.
Right.
Amen.
Man will even help you to sin if you ain't careful.
Right.
Not only did he hold himself accountable to God, he held himself allegiant to God. He would not compromise for nothing, Brother Eddie. Not for wealth and not for position. So if we're going to have a great name, let me run through that. We need to have adherence to the command of God. We need to have a Bethel to go to and pray and confess. We need to have a place of confession. We need to have a disposition. We need to have some ethics or integrity about us. But finally tonight, if you'll give me just a few more minutes, we need to have something else. And I believe it's more important than anything I've ever mentioned so far. Because it was the most important thing said about Abraham. Look with me in Genesis 15 in verse 6. What does it say? It says, and he brought him forth abroad. I'm sorry, I'm in verse 5. Verse 6. And he believed in the Lord.
Amen.
And he, which is God, counted to him for righteousness. Mm-hmm. You know what I learned? If I'm going to have a great name, if you're going to have a great name, if our church is going to have a great name, we need to believe God.
Yes.
Amen.
Now I know that sounds, you know, rather simple, and some of you have been saved longer than I've been alive, or saved longer than I've been preaching, or saved longer than I have, you know, you're like, what? Of course. It's like, duh. Yeah, of course we need to have faith, Brother Chris. Of course we need to believe. But you know, I find something in the Bible. There's two instances that I have that I said about a couple of weeks, and I watched some of our people at Fairview just like, huh. Now, they didn't say amen, but Brother Ricky, they was really, I never saw that. Wasn't nothing I got. It's been in the Bible the whole time. You know what it is? The Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 19, he says, you believe in God, in one God, you do well.
Right.
He said, but the devils believe.
Right.
So what I learned in James chapter 2, 19, Brother Scott, is the devils believe in God.
Oh yeah, tremble.
Yeah.
And people say nowadays, they say, well, you can believe in God, but it's when you talk about believing in Jesus Christ, it gets people trembling. Yeah. Boy, God showed me something one day. It's been there the whole time. I've been reading this book for 17 years now. Here's what I learned. Or relearned or had revealed. Jesus walked on this earth for 3 years. He walked with a certain man that watched him heal, watched him raise people from the dead, watched him do things, watched him raise a man but in front of a bunch of people's eyes. And he still died and went to hell.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Judas Iscariot.
Right. Yeah.
He not only believed, he walked with him. He slept with him. He ate with him. He was on the boat with him. He was at the Passover supper with him.
Right.
Still went out and hung himself.
Right.
repented to himself, but not to God.
Amen.
I believe today, and I hope I'm not treading on anything your pastor has taught, I believe today Judas is burning in hell.
Boy,
I surely believe that. So what I learned today is I preached a message one time entitled, Belief is Just Not Enough.
Right.
Ain't that what James said? He said, you ought to prove your faith by your works. I don't believe in working your way to heaven. I don't believe in working your way into God's good graces. I know here in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, the Bible said that Abraham believed and God counted him for righteousness. But I want to remind you, you cannot take away Genesis 12 through 15.
Right.
Where he did these things and he passed these tests that God given him. And so you understand from Genesis chapter 12 when he called him out to Genesis 15 where he says he believed in God. By the time Abraham gets to Genesis 22, giving Isaac ain't a problem.
Yes.
Amen? Yeah. I don't think Genesis 22 verse 12 or verse 10 where it is, where he lays, I don't believe that's the trial. I believe that's the crown of the trial. I believe his trials have already been proven him.
Oh yeah.
I believe his name's already been made great.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Was he perfect? No, he sure was not. Isaac learned some bad lessons. Isaac lied just like Abraham did.
Right.
But what I'm trying to help you understand, folks, tonight, if we're going to have a great name, we need to believe.
That's right.
Now, here's what I mean by believe. You say, Brother Chris, I believe. I've believed for 40 years. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Folks, I'm not here to challenge or make you doubt your salvation or question any of that. Here's what I'm saying. I challenged them this morning in church. I held my Bible up. I put it up on the pulpit just like that. I said, if we believe that thing, and I mean really believe that thing.
Amen.
Folks, it can't depend on one person. It can't depend on three or four people. If we really believe that thing, and our churches are going to be great in this society, and I'm not some weirdo out there, I asked them, I said, if we really believe that thing, why is our church so empty this morning?
Right.
Amen.
Now, people walk about, oh, we got to knock on doors. I'm not talking about knock on doors. You know what I'm talking about tonight? What I've been preaching of. I'm talking about you. God has stirred my heart in praying over the last couple of years. And we pray for the lost. We have this list of lost people. We started in our prayer meeting on Saturday morning. And we pray for these lost people. And I challenged the people there at church. I said, let's just not pray for the Holy Ghost to work with them. I want you to start praying the Holy Ghost work with you. We started putting something in our bulletin. You know what it is? Be the example, not the excuse.
Right. Amen.
Be the example, not the excuse. When we go out in this world, do you have to be some kind of holy roller, fanatic, crazy weirdo? No, you don't. But boy, I'm talking about being peculiar to God. I'm talking about a holy people called out from this world that will look different, dress different, talk different, walk different, act different, live different.
Yeah.
People, you start preaching on stuff like this, and people say, well, what are you getting at? Do I have to get rid of my TV? I didn't say you had to get rid of your TV. Do I have to stop wearing blue jeans? I didn't have to say you had to start wearing blue jeans. But boy, we ought to stop watching some stuff on TV.
Yeah.
We ought to start dressing a little bit different. You say, yeah. Well, you don't know us. You just preaching here. Hey, I got this time. I'm going to use it as best I can.
Amen.
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 Amen. Hey, I'm not here to change anybody. I'm not at Fairview to change anybody because here's what I learned. I can't change anybody.
Right.
But boy, I know a God that if you'll give Him yourself, He will make your name great.
Amen.
He will make your name great. Father, we come to You this evening, Lord. I thank You so much for the opportunity, for the privilege You've allowed me to preach, Lord God. I hope we've said something to be a help, to be a challenge. And I pray, Lord God, and now commit, Lord, this the rest of this to You, Father. And You have Your way. I pray You bless Brother Ricky, and I pray You bless Bethel Baptist Church and the people here tonight. And Lord, once again, have Your way tonight in this altar call. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
124. All right, let's stand. Get a hymn book there. We come pray.
Thank you for
the message tonight.
Do that.
The Lord spoke to your heart about something tonight in the
message. I'm going to pray. To child of us, Lord, to God, child of
my Lord.
Lord,
we
Oh,
message and the things he brought forward tonight. Certainly, very, very important thing. The Bible says, and he gave the references there in Ecclesiastes and Proverbs about the importance of how great it is and how much better it is to have a good name.
Amen.
The Bible said a good name is better than silver and riches and all those things. Amen. I preached to you this morning about a man who didn't have no name. There were a lot of people in the Bible didn't have no name. They had a message, but they didn't have no name. A wise man, they didn't have no name, but they had a message. That man in hell, he didn't have no name, but boy, what a message he had. And a lot of people in the Bible like that, but the Lord said he's going to give us a new name.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And so I'm glad for that tonight, ain't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
He's going to give us a good name. But if we live for the Lord, do what's right, follow Him, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, one of these days you'll end up with a good name.
Yes.
Amen. If you'll follow the Lord, let Him lead you and guide you in all the matters of your life. Job had a great name, didn't he?
Yes.
The Bible said he was the greatest man in the East. And he had a great name, had integrity, had all those things. And it was mentioned there tonight. Amen. And I remember my pastor one time preaching a message on even the greatest get discouraged and even the greatest have failures. And we can't find much in Abraham's life just there when he gave in to his Sarah about Hagar was on the place. But every man has some flaw, doesn't he?
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Yes,
we all have some shortcoming, some fall. That's why the Lord said we've all come short of the glory of God.
Right.
And as he preached, none good, no, not one. We can point out to each other how that we're better than each other, but he's one that if he walked into the room tonight and stood down here at the front, nobody could walk up to him and say, I'm good as he is.
Amen, brother.
That's Jesus Christ. We've all come short of the glory of God. Well, we had a good day in the Lord's house today.
Yes.
And we thank the Lord for that and heard a good message tonight. I believe Brother Chris enjoyed preaching tonight and had liberty, and so we thank the Lord for giving him liberty. And as I said Wednesday night, I heard Brother Billy Mitchell say that it was a bad day in America when we started preaching for souls, because what we need to preach for is the glory of God.
Amen.
Because we're living in the days of Noah, not many people want to get in the boat, and if you're only preaching for souls, you're going to get discouraged a whole lot of time. But if you're preaching for the glory of God, you can leave and hold your head up high and say, I've done my best.
Amen.
And as we preach for the glory of God, then souls will get saved and God will get even more glory.
Amen.
And that's what it's all about anyway, is the Lord getting the glory. Isn't that right?
Amen.
All right, any word on anyone's heart tonight? Yes, sir.
Amen.
Brother Jeremy.
Amen. I pray that it does more.
Yeah, that's good.
Just like we all remember Amos, we had a real bad headache.
Okay.
Yep. My grandma.
Yeah, remember Jeremy's grandmother. She has cancer. I was sitting at home this evening counting up how many people connected with our congregation has cancer right now, and we need to pray for them. Amen.
I'd like to thank the Lord for saving me, Brother Rick. Bible said God's not no respecter of persons, and I'm kind of glad he's not, because I certainly didn't deserve to get saved. I'm so glad he had mercy. Kind of like do it again. You can't get saved one time, but it sure is a wonderful thing to be saved. I appreciate the Lord saving me.
Amen. All right, anybody else? Word tonight, testimony, praise tonight for the Lord. All right, if all hearts are clear, pray one for another this week, be in the midweek service, and get them tracts out and witness people about the Lord.
Amen.
Do what you can. Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
We're going to ask Brother Chris to go back to the door there if he would, and you can go by and tell him how much you enjoyed his preaching tonight. All right? All hearts clear. You're free to go. Lord bless you.
Amen. Bless you.